Welcome to this week's edition of Money Sense. Brent Laux joined by Stuart Gillott, the insurance advisor at PWM Financial Services. And Stuart, you want to talk about the importance of getting a risk management checkup, correct?
That's right, Brent. I figured at the start of the year, we want to kind of focus and get things going and talk about the need to really undergo this regular risk analysis. It's very important that we walk through any obstacles that people may face on their way to, achieving their financial goals. Once we do that, then we're able to design solutions and help insulate them from any interruption in those plans.
All right, we'll get it going after this break. This is Money Sense. Welcome back on our Money Sense program. The insurance advisor with PWM Financial Services, Stuart Gillott, is here to talk about a risk management checkup, Stuart. So let's get started on this.
Yeah, you bet. When we meet with our clients or potential clients, it's obvious, that we need to review all the important components that make up a financial sound plan. And my counterparts here, they focus on the wealth side. So the generation of wealth, growth of wealth, and then the distribution of that in retirement. And then what I'm brought in to do is really stress test those plans to make sure that if there's any risks that are there, that we find them. And they meet typically once a year to review those financial goals with the clients, their mm-hmm. portfolios, and so on. I don't think it's as necessary with the risk management checkup. I recommend every 2 to 3 years. But obviously, if something significant changes in their lives, then we meet a little more frequently.
So talk to me a little bit about the kinds of things you're looking for then when you do one of these risk management checkups.
Yeah, you bet. I typically like to break the clients down into stages of life, determine what their goals, and then I review and take a look at those potential risks that they may face. So we break them into a number of categories. There's the singles and young couples. There's the early families, and then as they mature, as the kids start to get close to, post-secondary school or are moving out and so on. Then there's the pre-retirement crowd, and then the retirees.
Well, let's take a look at each of those stages and the risks involved with them.
Yeah, good idea. Let's walk through those in sort of sequence there. Mm. So we'll start with the single people, and I break those down into two categories again. The people that are, still single, always been single, and then those that have become single. The biggest risk for this group of people is really becoming critically ill or being injured. They may require time off work to recover, but the bills that they have, they don't go away. So replacing that income is key at this point. And we want to review, what the current income is, determine if they have any of those solutions already in place, and then, augment them if we need to.
Mm-hmm.
Where people have become single, either through divorce or being widowed, there's still financial obligations that they need to protect against. And, we go through a thorough analysis for these clients as well, looking at past, current, and future obligations.
On the topic of a risk management checkup, depending on what point you're at in your life with Stuart Gillott, so then what about family situation, Stuart?
Yeah, so when you move into that family environment, there's a lot more to think about. They now have multiple commitments, and there's a few more concerns should their plans go awry. Becoming critically ill or injured, obviously still a major concern. With two income families being the norm these days, life insurance starts to become more and more important, not only to replace lost income, but help ease the transition from a two-income to a one-income family. Provide some funds during that grief period. And then there's, also the consideration of, whether one or both of those breadwinners are self-employed, or work for someone else.
Okay, that makes sense, certainly, to have certain types of coverage in place while you're still working. What about retirees or those folks about to retire, Stu?
So even if you're approaching retirement or a lot of people, even when they're in retirement, there's still numerous reasons to hold insurance. You may want the coverage to provide your spouse with financial flexibility after you pass away, and again, that transition into that sort of single income. Maybe you'd like to provide funds for your grandchildren for college fund or something like that. Perhaps give your children the opportunity to pay off any debts that they have. Leaving a legacy or help for your family is probably the most common reason people, you know, in that pre-retirement or retirement carry life insurance coverage. Sure. There's still also the concern about becoming critically ill or potentially losing the activities of daily living. So critical illness insurance and long-term care insurance may be considered at that point in time. And then, and really, the thing is with all these areas is having a plan in place, you know, to look after financial expenses, you know, and lower stress levels.
What would some of the other things then that you'd also review in that risk management checkup?
Yeah, so with existing clients, you know, we go through and we need to be aware of a number of areas. We look at beneficiary designations on life insurance. We take a look at, you know, their make sure their address is current. You know, talk about the family changes. You know, have they had a child? You know, things like that. We like to know about the changes to their other professionals as well, their accountants, their lawyers. You know, keep abreast of their employment changes to make sure that we're staying on top of things like their group insurance and disability and stuff like that with them. Mm-hmm. And then we review, you know, increase, decrease in assets and liabilities. The other thing is that the clients that have term insurance, we like to follow closely when that renews. So there's 10-year term insurance, 20-year. The premiums jump fairly significantly at renewal. So we need to determine whether they still need some insurance. And then we go through the process most often to reapply because it's less expensive to get new insurance than accept that renewal. The other key thing that we find, you know, is clients that have had insurance issued as smokers, mm-hmm. We need to, you know, we'll go often talk to them about have they quit. And if they've quit for 7 or 12 consecutive months, we can submit paperwork and have those premiums that they're paying changed to non-smoker. And it's significant. It would be at least half the price that they're currently paying.
Wow. I wonder anybody even listening to you right now might be hearing that and going, I haven't looked at my insurance policy for years, and I used to be a smoker, and I'm not now. What a smart thing to review, and that's part of the review that you do when you go through a risk management checkup with Stuart Gillott, the insurance advisor at PWM Private Wealth Council. We've got more to come. Money Sense, after this break. We're looking at the importance of a risk management checkup for you on our Money Sense program. Brent Laux, along with Stuart Gillott, insurance advisor, PWM Private Wealth Council. So I know I need to get insurance. What type do I buy, Stuart?
Yeah, good question, Brent. And that's part of the process. You know, we walk through, we take a look at income replacement needs and so on. And, you know, there's several different solutions out there, insurance solutions that we look at, obviously multiple companies that we represent. And so it's, you know, kind of look at, you know, whether the need is of a permanent or a temporary need. And that's the solutions that we offer on the insurance that runs true through pretty much all of the insurance out there, whether it be life insurance or critical illness or disability or long-term care. When we look at the life insurance side of things, permanent life insurance comes in the form of what's called universal life, whole life, or even a solution called term to 100. These solutions provide coverage of a permanent nature and basically will pay out at your death. That's guaranteed. They will come with a slightly higher cost, but it will be a level cost, you know, for the life of that. Mm-hmm. In the instance of universal life and whole life, there's also the ability to grow a cash value, and it becomes sort of a tax-free investment vehicle. And we sometimes discuss that with clients who need that other alternative. Term insurance, whether it be on the life insurance or the critical illness, on the other hand, it provides protection for a specific period of time, most commonly 10 years, 20 or 30, and it's there and designed to cover off a specific need for a specific period of time. And so, you know, it's far less expensive, but as I mentioned earlier, it does renew, and those renewal premiums, you know, were based on your age at the time. And then eventually the cost of that becomes greater than permanent insurance as you move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But it works well for those clients who have a temporary need, potentially limited cash flow, or just concerned about locking in some coverage and protect their future insurability.
What do you think about putting insurance on my children?
You know, Brent, it really depends on specific situations, but yes, there are times that I've suggested to people that to implement the coverage on their children. As much as we would like to think otherwise, tragic things do occur that involve the children, as well as everyone else. So, as always, there are funeral expenses to take care of, and sometimes people have built up large healthcare debts, and life insurance could eliminate that. The most common reason that I would recommend putting in, insurance in place for children is that they put coverage in place when they're younger, and then when they get older and need it, it's there. It would cover off the same things that everybody else has, debt coverage, income replacement, to support their children in the future. And basically, all reasonably priced life insurance coverage is offered on condition of good health. Once you become ill, or if you were ill in the past, it's quite possible that you've become uninsurable, or at very least subject to slightly higher premiums. And sometimes that makes insurance inaccessible to those people. Most existing policies, however, can be automatically renewed through the lifetime, regardless of health.
Mm-hmm.
This means even if your child has health problems later in life, they always have that childhood policy in place.
We've talked a lot about life insurance on the program, Stuart. Talk a little bit about disability and critical illness, if you could.
Yeah, you bet, Brent. This is an extremely important area, and typically the area that I start with most clients. A lot of people think that their group benefits or their government benefits are going to take care of them. Unfortunately, that is not always the case. If we look at the disability side of things, Canada Pension disability benefits are some of the hardest to qualify for. The basic payment amount is only $506 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add up, some other things in there, and it would be based on how much you've paid into Canada Pension. But the maximum monthly payment in 2021 was just over $1,400 a month.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a few people out there that earn a lot more than that. So if in order to get Canada Pension Disability Benefit, you'd have to be under 65, have made, substantial contributions to CPP, and have a mental or physical disability that regularly stops you from doing any type of substantial gainful work. And I need to be clear about that. If you're able to do anything, you wouldn't qualify for Canada Pension.
Okay.
Employment insurance provides regular benefits to individuals who lose their job through no fault of their own. And for these people, the basic rate for calculating the benefit would be 55% of your average weekly earnings, up to a maximum amount. And in 2021, that maximum amount was $56,300, meaning that they would receive a weekly amount of just shy of $600. Workers' comp is another benefit that they need to consider, and that basically would pay out in the case where it's directly work-related. And in most cases, compensation would only apply for those working at work on the premises of the company or business. And again, that would be equal to 90% of their average net earnings, and The average rate in 2021 was just over 91,000. So workers' comp, pretty good program.
Yeah.
And then we have a process of you know, taking all these things, working through things, determining the amount and type of coverage that they qualify for and that would be suited for them. Determining the disability amount is fairly straightforward. Obviously, you take a look at their income, and then we look at their age, health, gender, occupation, smoking status. You know, and then some of them have plans through their work, so we factor that in, and typically they would have somewhere in the region of 2/3 as a non-taxable benefit that they would receive, to a maximum of 85% from all sources that are out there.
Okay.
So we need to make sure that we take a look at what's taxable and not taxable. Where the clients have disability insurance through their employer, we also want to take them through and work through their group benefit and make sure they understand exactly what they have. It's very, very important there. When it comes to critical illness insurance, not quite as common in group insurance to see them have that. But when we take a look at the stats, over 82% of all claims with the companies that we work with come from cancer, heart attack, and stroke. And so we can simply look at the costs associated with recovering from that should they need, you know, special treatment that is not covered by the, you know, our health plan. And when we look at critical illness, I like to use a general rule of thumb of 1 to 2 years of income.
Mm-hmm.
And then the individuals that, you know, want me to go into a more detailed approach and look at some specifics, we will walk through a calculation of, you know, what might be needed or desired in those situations. And the other type of coverage that there's really only one company that, you know, provides any solution for this now, and that's Sun Life, would be long-term care insurance. And so we would basically walk through and take a look at should they be able to or not be able to do the activities of daily living. And some of those would be like bathing, helping yourself get out of bed and so on, feeding yourself. Where you need assistance, we would then sort of walk through and determine, you know, what level of, you know, care they would need and what that costs. And then basically we could marry up a solution for them on that.
Lots of good information on the program here today, Stuart, as we are advising people to consider a risk management checkup to take a look at their financial situation and things to protect them like insurance products. People want to find out more. I'm guessing a quick call to your office would be the next step.
Yeah, definitely, Brent. They can reach us by the through our office phone at 306-975-9500 or by going to our website. That's a good way to check out everybody at www.pwmprivatewealth.com.
Thanks so much for your time this weekend, Stuart.
Thank you, Brent.
You've been listening to Money Sense for PWM Financial Services. Insurance products and services are offered through PWM Financial Services, Inc., an independent and separate company from IA Private Wealth, Inc. Only products and services offered through IA Private Wealth, Inc. are covered by the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. You've been listening to Money Sense.